All right. Thank you, Shelley. We are in the book of Exodus this morning. It's a little bit later than we're at our schedule for just a few minutes. But if you listen fast, I'll think fast too, but I'll talk fast also. As we look, not just really, I'm thinking of our building a little bit this morning, but I'm also thinking of our Christian life, really anything of any value. The key to success of anything is commitment, okay? It's commitment. Anything that we're involved with, anything God wants us to do, God wants us to be 100% in and 100% committed. But yet in our society, people are afraid of commitment. We feel if we commit to something, someone's going to take advantage of us. We want to have our options open so that, hey, if something we feel is not working out, we can bail out at the last second. We can grab the parachute and head for the exit. So we don't commit. But here's the danger with that. We have to understand that commitment is what it takes to make anything successful. And without it, we will give half-hearted effort. And half-hearted effort always leads to half-hearted results. Nothing of any value is ever successful unless we give 100% commitment. And that's where we're kind of at with our building. Fact of the matter is, it would be just more comfortable if we didn't have to deal with the building. We just kind of just dealt with what we're doing with and continue to have people meeting outside and different times so that we can use the building. We're not just doing this because we want a nicer building. Because I'll be honest with you, we could have just raised some money, and we will eventually, and remodel this place and make it look, you know, brand spanking new. But that wouldn't have helped us. And so we need to be committed to this building, but we need to be committed to everything. In our story, we see that Moses is coming down from the mount after receiving the Ten Commandments. He had been gone a little bit longer than the people anticipated, and so because the peoples were half-hearted because of really their evil in their heart, what they did is they decide that they want a new God. And they go to Aaron and they say, hey, we don't even know what's happened to Moses. We need a new God to lead us. And Aaron collects the gold, and then he says the stupidest thing that's ever been said in Scripture. Some of you caught that in the Scripture reading. He said, they gave me the gold, I threw it in the fire, and a calf jumped out. I'm going to guess that's not true. Okay, maybe that's just me. But he said, so he makes them a calf and says, there you go. There's the gods that brought you out of Egypt. And then you have to understand, by the way, you have to understand the pagan deities of those days. The pagan deities of those days were very immoral. The worship involved all kinds of debauchery. It was just not good. Now, we do that in our society today. We just don't bother to call it worship, all right? We just call it life. But their pagan deities were bad. And so they just start following the same kind of concepts and lifestyle that the Egyptian pagan worshipers would have done. And they're doing all kinds of wicked things. Moses and Joshua are coming down from the mount. And Joshua hears the noise and says, hey, it sounds like there's a war going on. Now, God had kind of clued Moses in, and Moses said, there's not a war going on. These people are partying. It's the noise of the music and all of the garbage that was going on. Finally, Moses gets the people together, and he says, makes a declaration, one that I like. He says, who's on the Lord's side? By the way, there was a lot of the people that were in that group that weren't on the Lord's side. There was a mixed multitude and some others. And as you see it, it's like, how did they turn on God so quickly? They had some issues. But Moses says, who's on the Lord's side? And the Levites come over and he sends them out and people are being killed and God's judging them. But the part I want to look at, I want to see that little phrase. I like that. Who is on the Lord's side? Now for us, we would ask this question. Are you in? I mean, are you really in on this whole thing? This morning, I want us to see four areas from the Scripture here where we must be on the Lord's side, where we must be in. First of all, and I'll do it in the form of questions. You can answer these questions and see, are you in? Are you just playing Christianity, or are you a serious Christian, and are you all in on serving God? The first thing is this. Have you aligned yourself to God's presence? Look at verse 1. We did not read verse 1, but let's look at verse 1 of chapter 32. How did this all start? And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Because Moses was up there longer than they had anticipated, their faith started to wane. So what was their answer? Instead of saying, who's going to take over for Moses? They're like, we need a new God. I didn't realize that their faith was in Moses. Should not their faith have been in their God? But their faith was in a man. By the way, that doesn't make sense. Moses didn't bring the 10 plagues upon Egypt. God did. Moses wasn't the one who protects them from the Passover. Death angel. God did. Moses wasn't the one who gave them favor in the eyes of the Egyptians to where when they went out, they were able to spoil them and take their gold and silver. God gave them that favor. Moses wasn't the one that gave them the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day to protect them and to lead them. God did. Moses wasn't the one who parted the Red Sea and brought them through on dry land. God did. Moses wasn't the one that had the water go back on Pharaoh's army as they were coming through the Red Sea so that they were killed and they could be safe. God did. It amazes me how quickly these people corrupted themselves. You know why? Their faith was not in God and his presence. Their faith was in a man. Now, let me ask you this. Are you all in on what God wants to do in your life? It bothers me sometimes. Someone will be in a church and say, you know, I'm leaving church. Why? Because this person disappointed me. Or this person, I have a conflict with this person. I didn't realize that's the one you were worshiping. And by the way, most people that leave a church, they don't go to another church. They just bail out on God. Listen, it's not about being a churchian. It's about being a Christian. What determines whether or not you'll be serving God 10 years from now is not necessarily even the church you're in. Do you have a relationship with God? Is God real in your life? And God was not real in their life. And some of us think, man, if I saw God do those miracles, if God talked to me and I heard his voice, I would serve him. They didn't. In fact, God said they corrupted themselves quickly. Man, that party ended quick. So have you aligned yourself to God's presence? See, our whole life should be about him. I love what Paul said, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, if I'm living, my whole life's about Christ. Yep. And then in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Secondly, I want us to ask this question. Have you aligned yourself to God's precepts? Verse 7. As they're coming down the mount, God's going to clue him in on what's happening. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down for thy people. Man, when God bails on you, that's a problem. Thy people, Moses, which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Now listen to this. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. I find this very interesting. As Moses is up on the mount getting the Ten Commandments, the people are down at the bottom violating most every one of them. They just wanted out of Egypt. They just wanted the misery gone. But when it came to truly obeying God, and you know the history of them, they just would not do it. So Moses comes down and he physically, out of an anger, breaks the tablet of the Ten Commandments, where these people were morally breaking the Ten Commandments. They were not in on God. They were not in on his principles and what God had told them to do. It's like most people. We want the results of a relationship with God without actually having a relationship with God. We want the results of God's blessing in our life without following God's principles which lead to those blessings in life. Violate them so quickly. it amazes me how people will violate Scripture. And they're so free about it. They'll come up and say, you know, hey, Pastor, that was good, but, you know, and one day I'm going to try to do that, but, you know. I'll be honest with you. I'm nice sometimes, but I don't know. And if you're going to come tell me that you're violating Scripture and it's okay, by you telling me that doesn't make it right. I'll just throw that out there. Don't tell me. God wants us to keep His word. That's where the blessing comes from. That's when people come and say, man, this Christianity thing, it's just not working for me. Well, let me ask you this. Are you dedicated to obeying what God says? If you're not, I'm with you. It's not going to work. Yeah. But the issue is never on God's side. Yeah. The issue is always on our side, isn't it? Yeah. Are we going to be committed and align ourselves to God and His precepts? When we willingly choose not to obey God, the new God in our lives is not really the golden calf. The new God in our lives is ourselves. The golden calf just represents us being allowed to do what we want to do. Have you aligned yourself with God's precepts? Number three, have you aligned yourself to God's people? Look at verse 30. It says, and it came to pass on the morrow, after all this took place, the verses we read, that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Preadventure, I'll make an atonement for your sin. Now, let me backtrack for a minute. When God came to Moses, he said, you know what, Moses? I'm going to wipe these people out, and we'll start over and make a new nation with you. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not as spiritual as Moses. You probably already caught that. But if I was Moses and God said that, I'm like, okay, Lord, now where do I stand so that I'm not part of that? Why you're destroying the people? Is this far enough away? I'm all in. Let's start over. Okay? But Moses is better than me. Moses says, I'm going to go to the Lord and I'm going to try to help. I'm going to try to get this figured out. We're going to try to work it out. You know why? He really cared about him. Yeah. By the way, they were stiff-necked. They were rebellious. They fought him tooth and nail all along the way. They criticized him. And here he is, a great man that says, I'm going to try to make an atonement for your sin. You know, as Christians, we need each other. Yep. Christianity isn't something that is just individual. It's individual, but you know, it's something that's shared in a group. Amen. You know, I don't need church. It's just me and God in the Bible. Well, that was great, but if it was you and God in the Bible, you'd understand God wants you to be involved with His people.
That's right.
Okay? We use this verse a lot in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 about church, but it is still true. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another.
Amen.
See, we have to be in with Jesus, but when we're in with Jesus, when we're in with God, we will be in with other people. Are not the two greatest commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, all your heart, soul, and mind, and what's the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You can't separate the two. If you're going to be a good Christian that loves God, you have got to be all in on other Christians. That's why church is really vitally important. God has ordained the church to be the place where God's people meet together, not just to have our spiritual need met, but that we may help to have others' spiritual needs met. It's not just about us, people. If you want to be a fulfilled Christian, you have to be all in with God's people. And by the way, I'll say, you know, if we're hit and miss at church, it's kind of hard to be like that. We need to be all in. Have you aligned yourself to God's people? You know, well, Christianity would be great if it wasn't for Christians. And I hear Christians even say that. Well, you know, everybody at church, I love God, but everybody's a hypocrite. Everybody is, and so are you. It's funny, I hear people, you know, I'm not going to go to church. There's hypocrites there. Is there hypocrites where you work? Do you still go to work? Okay, don't judge Jesus based on some of his people. Okay, they're not all bad. There's a lot of good people in here. Then lastly, have you aligned yourself to God's plan? To God's plan. Look at verse chapter 33, the first couple verses. So this whole drama goes on. Moses prays to God for his forgiveness. He wants it to go on. He wants to continue on with what God wanted for them. Verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go thence. Okay, it's time to move on. Thou and the people which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt unto the land which I swear unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed I will give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in thy way. In the midst of all the drama, God's plan still had to be fulfilled. What was God's plan? God's plan was not just to bring them out of Egypt. God's plan started many, many, many years past when God had promised the land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now God was going to bring them out of Egypt to fulfill that promise and bring them into that promised land. And so after this is all done, it's like, let's get back on track. Let's be a part of God's plan. Let's get the people to where they need to be. Because God's desire was not just to get them out of Egypt, but to get them into Canaan. Deuteronomy 6:23, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. Kind of like soul winning, right? Soul winning isn't just about getting people out of hell. It's getting people to live a godly Christian life. Once they're saved, God doesn't, that's not over. Like, all right, they're saved, it's over. No, no, no. That's the beginning. God now wants them to grow, and God wants them to be a solid Christian. Why? So that they can go out and share the gospel with others, so that they can be reached, and they can be sent into the uttermost part of the earth. So that's God's plan. The New Testament, that's God's plan for us. God wants us to take the gospel, starting in our community, and then take it out everywhere we go and send others out to take it where we cannot go. That's the plan. That's what our church is all about. Are you in on God's plan? Well, I'll come and I'll sit in a service, but I would never talk to anybody about Jesus. That's not God's plan. I'm not trying to be mean here this morning, but God has so planned it that the church is his agency to get the good news of Jesus Christ to this world. We've got to be a part of that. There are people that are living in darkness. They need Jesus Christ. There are people whose lives are a wreck. They need Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you in on his plan? Now, how does that have to do with the building? Because that's part of why we're doing this. Our church needs to be a center to where the gospel doesn't come and it's held on to. The gospel is accepted and then it's taken out everywhere. And some of these and some of your children, they get the vision and they get sent out to start churches and be missionaries. Listen, it needs to be a gospel center. But are you in? Listen, if this is your church, let's be in. Let's be 100% behind God's purpose. Let's be 100% behind God's plan. Now for us, where we're at right now, we got to get this done. We have plans. Last night I was at Brother Beck. They had a banquet. They're raising money too. The church we started in 2009. They don't have a building in mind, but they're planning ahead. Okay? Hey, we need another Pacific Baptist Church somewhere. Which I'll just be real honest with you. You know what's tying us up a little bit? That building. That thing's got to get done. That thing is going to get done. But we have to be all in. It's just part of the greater plan and vision that God has for this church. He said, well, there's a few of you in the church. You'll take care of it. It's all of us. Are you in on what God is doing? Let's all stand for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a second.